Hello, I'm Jennifer White, and I'm a professor at the University of Victoria in the School of Child and Youth Care, and I'm looking forward to talking about a study that I engaged with my colleague who's going to introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Patty Renahan. I'm an associate professor at Concordia University. And yes, we're going to talk about the Gatekeeper training project that happened between 2015 and 2018.
Right, and we were funded by the Canadian Mental Health Association, the BC Division, to really give a close-up look at how a provincial suicide prevention gatekeeper training rolled out over time. And so we were very curious about how the gatekeeper training was conceptualized, how the folks who were in leadership positions understood the main goals of the training, and that over time, how the trainers delivered it, and also how the regional coordinators did their tasks and jobs, which was trying to promote it and to get people to enroll in the training.
Right. And the aim of this initiative was at the outset to train 20,000 British Columbians in one of two gatekeeper training programs that were designed and researched by LivingWorks out of Calgary. One program was called Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, and that's a two-day workshop. The other program is called Safe Talk, and that's a 3.5-hour suicide awareness program.
And in previous podcasts, we've talked about sort of the early stages of the research effort where we really talked to the provincial leaders and those in those positions who had that provincial-wide view about their experience with the rollout of the training. And then in the second podcast, we talked about more of the local implementation efforts. And today we hope to talk about overall some of the impressions that we took away after doing this work and sitting with the folks that we interviewed and the words that they used. And we've become quite curious about how the suicide prevention training itself was being framed, how it was being interpreted, and some of the language and metaphors that people were using.
Mm-hmm. And one of the metaphors that came up quite a bit, actually, was this notion of the river of suicide. And this river of suicide is described as if people who are thinking of suicide are in the river of suicide, so in this river. And as they're going down this river towards a waterfall, there's people called gatekeepers on the side with life preservers that they can throw out to those who are in the river thinking of suicide and bring them to shore, bring them to safety before going over the waterfall or attempting suicide.
And Patty, I think one of the things we got curious about is we heard this metaphor of river. We heard reference made to gatekeepers as lifeguards that would use life preservers. And I think we understood in many ways how this could be useful to convey the idea of suicide prevention work. But we also got curious about what are some of the limitations of this kind of metaphor. And do you want to say a little bit about that?
Well, one of the participants in our study talked about how people in the river of suicide were already thinking about suicide, and that the effort around gatekeeper training wasn't doing anything to prevent the river in the first place, prevent suicidal ideation or thoughts of suicide in the first place.
And so in some ways, the metaphor starts at the place that people are already in distress, they're already kind of in crisis, and we might imagine there might be other ways of thinking about this work that backs it up so that there's not a river of suicide in the first place, or that isn't the starting place for thinking about it.
Exactly. The participant actually talked about how you're trying to pull people out of the river. It's this idea that you're pulling people out of the river instead of keeping them from jumping in, and saw that as a bit of a problem in terms of even thinking about a river of suicide or gatekeeper training.
Mm-hmm. And then as a kind of related point, I got kind of interested in the idea of the lifeguard, the metaphor of the lifeguard, because again, it situates the work of suicide prevention in a bit of a medical or first aid frame. And so there's also the metaphor of first aid that people are told in the training very often. They're not the surgeons, they're not the experts and specialists, but they're just the first responders or you know, doing the first aid to get the person patched up so they can get on to the more expert intervener. And I wonder what the limits of this kind of medical framing of suicide are, because it's too easy, I think, to frame it that way and then say, oh, yeah, that's what it is. But then it precludes other ways of thinking about the work, doesn't it?
Yeah. And if we think about first aid or suicide intervention or pulling people out of the river as a response in terms of distress, it really limits, like you say, what is available in terms of responses. So first aid is something that is brief, it's crisis orientated, it's for that particular individual. And like our participant said, it does nothing in terms of the existence of the river of suicide in the first place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as educators, we're very aware of the power that metaphors can play in helping participants and learners to get a concept that's sometimes hard to convey in writing or in text. And I think I appreciate the efforts to use metaphor. And I think what we're saying is we need to think more carefully about what these metaphors are doing and how they might be restricting other ways of thinking about the work. Would you agree?
Yes, these metaphors can be, on the one hand, beneficial in terms of understanding a particular concept, yet on the other hand, can be problematic if others have different types of meanings for that concept, for that metaphor. For example, a regional coordinator shared with me how they had gone into a First Nations community to deliver the Gatekeeper Training Program. And one of the responses to this metaphor of the river of suicide was, hold on, wait a minute. For us, the river is about life. It's not about death and dying. It's not about suicide. So that's an example of where sometimes these metaphors are problematic.
Yeah, great example. And I wonder if we could move away now from sort of talking about the river and the first aid and the lifeguarding kind of metaphor and talk about some other metaphors that surfaced in our interviews with folks. Can you think of others that you think would be good for us to share with the listeners?
Well, one that we heard frequently throughout the whole research project was this idea of a backyard. And how it showed up a number of times was this idea that there's a long history of suicide prevention work in the province. And this long history, what comes with it, is certain areas where the work is done, and then certain territories where people do the work, where they're embedded in certain locales. And so this came up a number of times and was talked about in terms of a backyard, where they do the work in their backyard.
Right. And I remember hearing it kind of in the sense that people thought other people were getting into their backyards, so that there was this sense of an encroachment on some boundaries. And I remember this came up early where we heard that people had a strong sense of, this is my area where I have the rights to deliver this training, and that other people were kind of coming into their backyard, so to speak. So I think it's an interesting situation where we had at the beginning some tensions around who could do the work, where it would take place. And there were definitely some relational negotiations that had to take place around those borders.
And at times, how the work was being done, and the suicide prevention work, the gatekeeper training work, was being done in parallel, as if these backyards were situated side by side, but not connected. Mm-hmm. And even though they're doing very similar work, they're cutting the same grass.
Mm-hmm. To use another metaphor.
Yes.
Yeah. And then what I think, too, is interesting about the idea of a backyard is that at one hand, it kind of localizes a training effort to say, this is where I do the work, and it's local, and it's people in relationship with one another in a backyard. So it's not a big territory. It's quite small in scale. And so it almost conjures up something informal as opposed to a big bordered penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Another metaphor that I think we should mention is this idea of carrots, and how there was this talk about carrots to create buy-in or get people enticed to participate in gatekeeper training. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that, Jennifer?
I do. And I think that idea of the carrot or the stick is often something we hear about, is how you're going to get people to join is either through kind of incentives like carrots or through more punitive measures. And so it sounded like people were trying to conjure up participation to show the benefits for them, which were the carrots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this really had many stories, or held many stories, of creative ways of enticing people, of having opportunities for them to benefit in various ways, not only just from the training, but financially, when we're talking about some of the negotiations that happened in order to bring people into the training. We talked in previous podcasts about, over time, it was quite difficult, you know, to see that there weren't the bums in seats that they had expected at the outset.
Mm-hmm.
And so these carrots started to be talked about,
yeah,
partway through the initiative.
And that goes alongside, too, with the metaphors of the sales pitch and the getting the foot in the door and
mm-hmm.
all that language that sounded like salespeople talk.
Yes.
Yeah. And I wonder if, when we think about all these metaphors together over the arc of the project, where we had carrots to induce people to participate, and then we have people talking about the training in terms of first aid and medical metaphors, is there anything there that we could offer as a kind of overall analysis that's at a higher level about how these metaphors, you know, what's the work that these metaphors are doing? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, they help tell the story, yeah, of implementation. And so even, you know, as you described it there, all these different metaphors work to come together as a story of implementation. And the struggle, the tensions, the rewards, the benefits, all of that come into play when we are able to kind of piece together these metaphors.
Yeah, and I think the other thing I'd just say, maybe in closing, is the metaphors also constrain meaning. So they make it possible to think about suicide in a particular way, and they make it possible to think about what gatekeepers do in a particular way, but they exclude other possibilities. And so you and I have talked a lot about how in the gatekeeper training itself, in order for it to be successful, there has to be an identified person at risk. And so the person in the river, to use the metaphor, has to be there for the gatekeeper training to even exist. And so you and I know, have talked a lot about, well, what if there were other ways communities could come together to address concerns about people being in distress, or people losing hope, or people losing their faith and going on, that wasn't about, as you and I've just said, pulling people out of a river, but a different metaphor,
mm-hmm,
that might invite a community-wide response to being in this together as a collective wellness kind of initiative. And it would be kind of fun to think about what some of those other metaphors might be.
Sounds like a great conversation for next time.
Great. Thanks, Patty.
Thanks, Jennifer.